All right, let's open in a word of prayer before we get on with the message today. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord God, for giving me this opportunity to deliver this message. I just pray, Lord, that you'd give me good voice, that you'd give me wisdom, Lord, and that when all is said and done, Lord, that you would be lifted up and Jesus Christ would be glorified. I thank you, Lord, and I pray that those who listen to this message, that their ears will be wide open, their hearts receptive to what is said, and when things are said and done, that all of us, Lord, including myself, will receive a blessing, Lord, from on high. Thank you now, Lord God, in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right, we're going to turn to 1 Corinthians 5. 1 Corinthians 5, 6, and 7. That's where we're going to kick off things today. I've entitled my message, A Little Leaven, A Little Leaven. I hope you enjoy it, but I don't mean that in the sense of going to a movie theater. I mean that your heart will realize the importance of a little leaven. Okay, that's 1 Corinthians 5, verses 6 and 7. Your glorying is not good. Know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? Purge out, therefore, the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened. For even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. And in Galatians 5, verse 9, we simply read, and this is what it's all about, a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. Now, I don't know if you realize that, but that's how that old devil works. With a little bit of confusion, that will bring a great amount of confusion if you stay up with him. If you continue on doing what he wants to do, he wants you to do. If you follow him, if you get into the wrong type of scriptures, the wrong Bibles, there are just so many things out there you could do that would seem pleasing and okay with you, but yet are wrong in the sight of God. And that's what God is warning us about here today. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. Leaven, now, its source is from without. Excuse me. Its secret, the secret of leaven, it's in its operation. It spreads by contact of particle with particle. How many scientists have known about this? Particle with particle. Isn't that what it's all about? It's widely diffusive. Now, diffusive means it's spread abroad, like spread abroad. One particle of leaven, now get this, one particle of leaven is able to change any number of particles of flour it comes in contact with its own nature. Do you understand that? One particle can... One particle of leaven is able to change any number of particles of flour. Now, like we'll say, we're talking about yeast when it comes to bacon. It can change any number of the particles of flour it comes in contact with into its own nature. Into its own nature. Now, it makes sense when you're talking about the devil and how he's scourging and how he's trying to get you confused. He gives you a little leaven. He gives you maybe one little particle, but it's able to change a number of particles. And in other words, a number of ideas, a number of concepts you may have, a number of ways you have of doing things or believing in God. Oh yes, very disruptive indeed. A little leaven can keep you out of heaven. A little leaven can keep you out of heaven. Now, to help us better understand what a little leaven can do, I've come up with a few examples. In Exodus Exodus chapter 12, verse 15, during the feast of the Passover, the Israelites, that while they were to commemorate the Passover by not eating leavened bread for 7 days, only unleavened. They could only eat unleavened bread. Of course, the difference between leavened and unleavened, as I explained, is quite simple. If bread is made, as we Gentiles, as you, if you're, remember back when you were a child, if you're not still one now, perhaps when your mom used to make bread, she had to put the yeast into it. This was the leaven that would cause the bread to rise. And that's where you have the concept of the whole lump that's derived from just a little bit of yeast. Now, if the bread is made with yeast, yeast causes the bread, as I said, to grow, to rise, while the absence of yeast allows the bread to remain somewhat flat. Okay, you don't get that leaven. That, you know, there was a time when unleavened bread wasn't found in the stores. But now, well, it's very common, very common. Not only could they, the Jews I'm speaking of, could they not eat leavened bread, but they weren't even allowed to have it in their house. Verse 15 reads, 7 days, we're in Exodus 12, verse 15, which I already read, we're on verse 15. 7 days shall ye eat unleavened bread. Even the first day ye shall put away leaven out of your houses. For whosoever eateth leavened bread from the first day until the seventh day, that soul shall be cut off from Israel. Wow, that's quite a statement. That soul shall be cut off from Israel. Now, the Feast of Unleavened Bread, well, it's a big deal among the Israelites. And you know, it's for Israel, it's not for us Gentiles. And it's strict, very strict Jewish custom and protocol. So, what's it have to do with us who are not Jewish? Well, the answer is plenty. Plenty, as you'll see before this message is complete. And it's not about the bread, really. As far as we're concerned, it's about the heart. It's about the heart. As common folk, well, we can eat pretty much of what we want, and, well, we usually do, whether it be good for us or not, unfortunately. Now, in 1 Corinthians 5, verse 6 and 7, if you're still there, if you turn there, your glorying is not good. We're just going to go over this again briefly. Know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? Now, verse 7. Purge out, therefore, the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened. For even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. Verse 9, I wrote unto you in an epistle not to company with fornicators. Okay, let's skip over to verse 11. But now I've written unto you to keep company. If any man that is called a brother be a fornicator or covetous or an idolater or a railer or a drunkard or an extortioner, with such an one, do know not to eat. Not to eat. Verse 13. But them that are without, that means outside salvation, God judgeth. Therefore, put away from among yourselves that wicked person. Put away from yourselves that wicked person. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. Yes, it does. A question. Is compromise related to leaven? Well, of course, they're like brother and sister, really. A friend invites you to attend his promotion party, say. your friend, well, he's not saved. He may have hinted that he was, but really he's not. All right? Do you go? Well, most will reason with themselves by thinking, well, why not? He's my friend. Sure, I'll go. I'll just refrain from any alcohol or bad conversation, that sort of thing, okay? Now, isn't this not allowing to enter a little leaven? You may refrain from associating with the talk or the alcohol, but you're there in the midst of it. And that is a little leaven. Or compromise. You are compromising. You may not like to agree with that, but you are. What you have done is set yourself up for a great fall. A fall from God's grace. I'm not saying losing your salvation. You can't do that. But you can lose lots of fellowship with God and blessings that you could have had otherwise if you allow yourself to be involved in such a state of affairs. Then you turn about, then you hear rather about a movie that has come to your town, all right? Your friend asks you to go, not like the old days when there were just cowboys and Indian movies. You shoot them up, you know, bang, bang, and you go home with a laugh and buy yourself a cap pistol. Not like that, no. The movies they have today got quite a bit more fervor to them and can easily intimidate you. So your friend asks you to go to a movie. The film's only just begun when the Lord's name is taken in vain. Wow. Your friend, who attends a different church than you and uses a different Bible, tells you, oh, come on, it's just a movie. What's the big deal? Well, you feel a bit uncertain whether to leave the theater or just hope that the movie will be okay the rest of the way. That's a little compromise, isn't it? That's a little leaven, too, isn't it? And it gets worse. What do you do? What do you do? After all, it's only a little leaven. What do you do? Now, you were planning on playing golf with your Christian brother. Okay, here's another example. When you're asked to allow another couple to join you to make a foursome. Been there, saw it happen. Now, one of the couple slams a bad drive into the trees and lets out a mighty blast of cussing, cursing, that would send the Pope reeling. What do you do? What do you do? Well, it's obvious. Whether you do it or not, it's still obvious. The answer, unless this arrogant blasphemer aces the rest of the course, your surrounding atmosphere may very well turn blue. A little leaven? Indeed. Maybe a lot. A visiting pastor, another example, a visiting pastor and his family from a distant church are invited to sing a song before the message. When the pastor agrees, the son and his sister hurry out to the parking lot and return with a guitar and a set of drums. What do you do? Well, if you're in one of these mega churches, you just applaud and welcome the drums and the other instruments they may bring in. But if you're in a basic, independent, fundamentalist Baptist church, you're not going to be too impressed. Not at all. What do you do? Do you permit the leaven to leaven even more, or do you pull the plug and apologize to God after they're gone? Huh? What do you do? Well, it's a special occasion now, and you ask one of your church members to read a short passage of his own choosing from the Bible. Sounds okay to me. When he's finished, you're suddenly aware that not all of your congregation is King James only. What do? Nip it in the bud or permit the leaven to become a lump? A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. Right? And a tiny compromise compromises the entire truth. When God gave us His word, He tried it in a furnace of earth to purify it 7 times. Of course, 7 is the number of what? Perfection, right? And He preserved it from this generation forever. Now that's important. You may look at it and think, well, that perhaps some of the verses could be rewritten for better understanding. Who understands better than God? That's my question. Who understands better than God? Would God make such a statement about His word being purified in a furnace of earth? Would He? He didn't understand what He was saying if He didn't want you to understand it. Now, to change even one tot or tittle can be a death sentence. Or truly, a sign to indicate you were never saved. I believe that God makes available to all His children the one true word of the Almighty, found without apology in the King James Authorized Version Bible. Now that's where I come from. And that's where I'm staying. You might not agree, that's your leaven. Alright? Now the greatest example of what a little leaven can do, well, I believe it's found in the greatest book of the Bible, John 3:16, very familiar. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Okay? No verse of Scripture has ever been quoted more than John 3:16, I would reckon. And no verse of Scripture has ever been misquoted more than John 3:16. I would gather. A total example of how a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. The omission of one word. And that one word is begotten. Begotten. The devil came forth with his scissors of deception and snip, the entire concept of God's word is compromised and leavened. Brutally damaged, changed, altered. You see, the devil knows the end from the beginning. He doesn't know all, but he knows enough. He knows the lake of fire is his final abode. And he also knows that many there be who will follow him there. But he wants more followers. He doesn't want to go there with only a sparse few. He wants the whole world, if he can have it, to go with him to the lake of fire. Now, I urge you, check your Bible and pray like never before for God's wisdom in this matter. I promise He will give it. If you seek wisdom from God, God will give it. In John 3:16 complete? Is the word begotten still there in your Bible? If it isn't, burn it. Burn it before it burns you. Just toss the entire book in the fire right now before it throws you in the fire later on. Allow me to explain what Satan has done here. He has omitted the word begotten. Why? Because begotten denotes deity. And not only deity, but purity and holiness and righteousness. And without it, salvation cannot be obtained. It cannot. Until Christ is begotten of the Father, he cannot be deity. He cannot be the Son of the living God. He cannot be without sin. He cannot save us. We are lost. And that's all there is to it. Case closed. Now, look at John 1, verse 12. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Now, we who are in the family of God, who are saved, were born again, washed in the precious blood, we are all sons and daughters of the living God. You got that? By adoption. We are all sons and daughters of the living God. But only one is begotten of God. Jesus Christ. Our Lord. Our Savior. Oh yes. A little leaven. One word. Leaveneth the whole lump. Your salvation. Leaven. Leaven. Why would God use leaven here? When God said in 1 Corinthians 5, verse 6, a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump, he not only knew that such a statement would be most effective as a descriptive for sin, but also that it would be such that people could relate to it. Since everybody back then, while they made their own bread, even a child could grasp the story and its relationship towards sin. Remember when dear old mom had her weekly bake day, I alluded to this earlier, she always made sure that the aroma of fresh baked bread filled the house. Oh, I loved it. I just loved it. And while it was still warm, too. Oh, and there was plenty of cold milk and molasses to go with it. I loved it. She would just set the loaves side by side on the kitchen table. Each loaf was so fat and round, and she would always glaze the top of each with a little shortening to help retain its freshness and also keep the flies away. Now, in case some of you did not experience the process of preparing fresh bread for the oven, well, I guess one had to be a little bit in the know, so to speak. Or should I say, in the dough, so to speak. With the required ingredients on hand, the kneading would begin. You need the flour, you need the dough. To make the dough, you need the yeast and so forth and so on, okay? There was salt to add, there was flour and water, but most of all was the yeast. Or should I say, the leaven. Without the yeast, the bread would simply stay flat. Which reminds me, I had an unleavened tire the other week. Had a nail in it. What God has done, and so cleverly, I might add, is to call the yeast leaven and the leaven sin. The yeast is the leaven and the leaven is the sin. Generally speaking, the source of leaven comes from without, as I explained earlier. And the way it operates, well, it remains somewhat of a mystery. Secondly, leaven or yeast, because of its diffusive power, is able to change any number of particles of flour on contact. Now, I'm repeating this because it's important you understand what leaven does, what the yeast does. This would explain the need for extensive kneading. Kneading the dough, K-N-E-E-D-I-N-G. Or agitating the dough, maybe. The kneading or agitating provides optimal size loaves. gives it greater leaven, causes it to grow bigger, larger. I know. I used to do it for my mom. In a nutshell, or in this case, in a bread pan, it's the leaven that has the power to change or alter that which it comes in contact with. It's the leaven that alters or changes that which it comes in contact with. Therefore, would not the intent of what is said in 1 Corinthians 5, verses 6 to 8, appear to use the leaven as a composite for sin? As God said in Galatians 5, 9, a little leaven leaveneth what? The whole lump, right? So, how does all this apply to us in this current age, you're probably thinking right now? That was then. This is a long time after. Well, first of all, we must examine briefly Paul's interaction with the Corinthians. In A.D. 55, Corinth was a very large and immoral city. Immoral. Paul was striving to convince those who claimed to be saved not to let their choice of certain ministries obscure their primary loyalty to God. Excuse me. In other words, if it walks like a duck, chances are it is a duck. He drove his point home in chapter 5, verse 6, when the Word of God says, "Your glorying is not good." Then he went on to say, "Know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump?" In other words, what he's saying is, tread softly. Be sure what you do is in agreement with the Word of God. Don't let the desires of your heart supersede the truth of God's Word. How does the leaven affect us today? Well, sad to say, its application is everywhere and nobody is immune. Perhaps the best example that comes to mind comes out of Catholicism. Unless they've changed their views radically in the past 20 years. The Catholic Church has categorized sin. They put sin in different categories. They believe it's more acceptable to God. They claim there are two distinct types of sin. There's venial and there's mortal sin. Now, back when I was a Catholic, venial sins were considered somewhat harmless and of very little consequence. For example, stealing in moderation, drinking in moderation, everything in moderation, lying, swearing, all in moderation. It would never be too offensive to God, and therefore it could not keep you out of heaven. Don't worry about it. So, as you can see, right at the outset, the leaven of which Paul speaks of in 1 Corinthians has put a mask on innocence. Put a mask on innocence. There's no such thing as a venial sin. There's no such thing. The Bible tells us that sin is sin. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God, Romans 3:23. So what we have here is, what? A little leaven, which I might add has already leavened the whole lump in many cases. Secondly, what about the change in church music? Is it not the early stages of leavening the whole lump? Is that not where we're at right now? What's happening? It's the old devil. He's roaming about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Sounds corny, doesn't it? But nonetheless, it's true. It's from God's Word. How many of you know that Jesus spoke more on hell than he did about heaven? Huh? Maybe you don't want to believe that, but he did. Check the Bible, King James. But you're saying, oh, well, that's different. No, it isn't. No, it isn't different. My job, just like anyone else who preaches God's Word, is to help keep people out of hell. Do you know how your ancestors, well, how they used to communicate way back before the telephone and the telegraph? You guessed it. Drums. Boom, 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 boom. If you check into the origin of drums, you will discover that drums were the first known instrument to converse with the underworld. Evil spirits. And some say even the dead. Ever hear the sound of drums in a Fanny Crosby hymn? But how does all this fit into a little leaven, you're asking? Like this. Want to build a mega church? All you got to do is compromise. Give the people what they want. Take out the things they don't want. Give your congregation what they want, and not only will they pile in the doors, but they'll also fill up your coffers. I used to call it blood money. But I don't want to insult Christ by saying blood. In the beginning, the new mega churches allowed very little in the way of contemporary church music. But somewhere along the way, the devil, what he did was he laced it with leaven. Or he introduced leaven into it. And now the whole lump is leavened. When God mentioned the little leaven in the whole lump, he was not only referring to the abounding heresy in the church, but also in our daily walk. New evangelicalism, the emerging church, certainly is a little leaven, if not a lot. It used to be church every Sunday in the morning, church every Sunday night, church on Wednesday or Thursday night. Now many churches and growing have done away with midweek service altogether and have done away with even Sunday night service. What's going on here? I think it's obvious. The devil's got them on the run. Well, wrong too, maybe. But on the run for sure. And all the different Bibles, hundreds of them, more than a little leaven. More, much more. Then there's the company we keep, the movies we watch, the tithing we don't give, the example we set for our children and neighbors. The list goes on and on. In reality, do we not carry the little leaven gene? Or is ours already a whole lump? What to do? What to do? Pray. Pray. Pray without ceasing. Allow the Holy Spirit to do a good work in you. Read your Bible every day. Study to show yourselves approved unto God. Witness to others. Be a good example. Come out from among them. Being a Christian is a full-time job. So is serving the Lord, and so is eternity. Conclusion. If you allow a little leaven in your Christian walk, you may think you can keep it under control. And perhaps you can, at least for a while. But if that's your train of thought, then you're missing the whole point. It's the little leaven God warns about. Are you playing with fire? Are you? Exodus 12, verse 15. Put away the leaven out of your house. Don't just take it out of the bread. Get rid of it. I'm talking, of course, today about sin. Take the sin out of your house. Don't just take it out of your house. Get rid of it out of your heart, out of your lives altogether. Put away a little leaven out of your house, an Old Testament warning to New Testament Christians. And what did Jesus say in Matthew 13, verse 33? The kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven, which a woman took and hid in 3 measures of meal, till the whole was leavened. Till the whole, W-H-O-L-E, was leavened. Purge out, therefore, that old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened. In 1 Corinthians 5, verse 8, Paul speaks of the leaven of malice and the leaven of wickedness, and tells us to cleave to the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Dearly beloved, when it comes down to where the rubber meets the road, what are we really talking about? Using a loaf of bread, it's just an illustration. The human soul is another matter. Thank you, Lord God. Oh, Lord, I pray those who hear this message will understand what a little leaven can do, whether they be a Christian or not, Lord. I pray they will understand the importance of God's Word, and that the gospel of Jesus Christ will be their staple in the days ahead. For thou art not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Turn from this leaven that is in your life, before it becomes a whole lump and destroys not only you, but your family, your home, your church, your community. May they turn from it, Lord. May they turn to Christ in faith, believing that He went to the cross, suffered and died, shed His precious blood as an atonement for our sin, and imputed to us His own righteousness, then rose again on the third day, that we, at that appointed time, will rise with Him and go on to glory forever. We shall be with the Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen.